And let me take the opportunity to compliment the team that elaborate this, as you said, comprehensive report. I think it's more than that. This is the summary. You will find the full book, if I can call like that. You have, Maraj, you have one. It deserves to be shown, huh? Because it's really a comprehensive book. And I went through it and even made a copy for Latin America region, the recommendation of policies, because it's really a comprehensive report and is an update of all technical information that we really have available on the impact on climate change on fisheries and aquaculture. I would like to say that FAO has been working on the climate change impact in all our main departments and divisions. I can say that everything that FAO does nowadays is impacted by the change in climate change. And the biggest concern we have is the challenge it poses for achieving food security for all. As you know, we have 17 SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, but one and two are the first ones, in the sense that if we don't achieve them, we will not achieve all others. And we are particularly dedicated to SDG number two, that's to eradicate all forms of malnutrition, but includes from hunger to obesity. And fisheries and aquaculture is all about that, because it not only provides, let's say, good source of proteins, reduce the impact on climate change in the sense that eating more fish and less meat, you preserve more forests. But also, and this is quite important, fish plays a crucial role on reducing the biggest challenge that we see in the moment, that is the growing epidemic of obesity. And we have here in the panel people that can, in one sense or the other, tell you how important is obesity for their regions. China and Japan, due to the increased consumption of fisheries, have been the countries that have kept the lowest level of population obese. In the other side, people from small islands, like the Caribbeans, for example, and Pacific Islands, that import almost all food that they consume, are among the ones that have the highest level of obesity. We have islands in the Pacific that the rate of obesity is above 80% of the population. Could you imagine that? So, fisheries at the center of SDG number two, but also fisheries fundamental for preserving our environment. When we talk about that, we talk about our waters, our oceans, and all about what is the SDG number 14. And is, let's say, difficult to understand why SDG number 14 has received so little attention until now. In fact, there is a research center named Aid Data that had conducted a research among leaders in developing countries and that considered the SDG number 14, life below water, the least important of the SDGs. We cannot agree with that. And for FAO, the SDG 14 is one of the most important because it's about life, preserving food security. And we are showing that with our increased presence on all discussions related to the oceans and also related to fisheries and aquaculture. By the way, must say that aquaculture now provides 53%, according to the last SOFI information, of the fish we eat in the world. So aquaculture now is responsible for more than half of all the fish we eat in the world. But in saying that, there is also an issue that I would express a concern and take this opportunity to make it public. You know that FAO is giving high priority for the pacts of the climate change, and for that we created a new department. René Castro is heading the Department for Climate, Biodiversity, Land and Water. And this department is responsible for helping countries to prepare projects and present projects to the Green Climate Fund, what is the fund that was implemented after Paris Agreement, and is, in fact, the main source of research that we have nowadays for a country to mitigate and adapt to the impacts of climate change. I will show you a slide there. This is what we have been working in FAO for preparing projects, what we call full proposal projects, country level, for the Green Climate Fund this year, 2018. And according to the colors, you'll see there the projects according to the level of their preparation. See that we are, it's all around the world. So we are depending very much on that. There is an additional project that we call, not full project, but readiness project. There are small amounts compared for the first one. First one, we are talking about 80, 90, 100, 200, and more million dollars. On readiness project, we are up to 10 to 20, so 10 times less than the full project. On this category of readiness project, we are preparing 156 projects, and we have already 10 of them approved. On the other one, we have only 27, and only one already approved. But what is the point? The point is that the board that approved those projects in the last meeting didn't approve any project. They were consumed in an internal fight and was not even up to agree. Just to agree the agenda, they took 1.5 days. And then they didn't agree to any substantial. What is behind this conflict is how to replenish the fund. The resources that are available now are only enough until the two more board meetings, what means that they will be exhausted by May next year. May next year, we risk to have the Green Climate Fund, that's the most powerful instrument of the Paris Agreement, completely exhausted. And all those projects that we have been working, and this is just FAO, other organizations are doing the same, will stop or not be implemented if they are already finished. We decided to continue to work on the projects. And I would like to take this opportunity to make a public appeal in name of FAO for the countries that are members of the board to stop those internal fights and come to agreement to replenish the fund. It's not about FAO interest. It's interest of all countries around the world that don't have another source of funding to adapt to the impact of climate change. And when we signed the Paris Agreement, that was a precondition, sine qua non. Everybody knew at that time that if we don't help the poor countries, the developing countries, to adapt and mitigate, we will not succeed in implementing the Paris Agreement. So I know that our member countries are represented here and others that can be reached by the people that are present here. It comes the appeal of FAO. This is very important for all the countries, but especially for the poor countries in the world, to have access to the funds of the Green Climate Fund. Countries can count on FAO. We will continue to work, putting our own money to prepare those projects, to be ready when the board opens again for new approvals. We will be there. I will need to leave because I have a full agenda today, but I leave you in good hands here with René representing FAO. Thank you very much for this opportunity.